Reprint page 4973, February the 15th, 1912. The Future Inheritance of the New Creation. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The divine promise is that the kingdom of God will be amongst men, under the whole heavens. The Scriptures state that both our Lord and the New Jerusalem, or glorious kingdom of Messiah, are to come down from heaven to earth, and they call our Lord, therefore, Emmanuel, God with us. During that 1,000 years, God will in this sense dwell with men, walk with men. We already have this to some extent in our experience as Christians. God is with men, and Christ and the Church are with men, more or less contradicting and putting to shame the things of darkness of the present time. But with all these suggestions, it is not necessary for us to suppose that the kingdom will be earthly. On the contrary, the assurance of the Scriptures is that the Church must become spirit beings before they can inherit the kingdom. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, while those of this class who have been previously dead will have an instantaneous resurrection. And thus we shall be forever with the Lord, not forever with the Lord on the earth, but always in the spirit condition. The angels are always in the heavenly condition, whether they are in heaven with the Father or on earth, and we shall always be in the heavenly condition, the spirit condition. Nothing in the Scriptures indicates that there will be a restriction upon the Church that she should remain in one place more than another. The intimation seems to be that after she shall have experienced her change, the Church will be for a short time absent from the earth and in the presence of the Heavenly Father. We read in the 45th Psalm that the bride is to be brought into the presence of the great King, arrayed in glorious clothing of wrought gold, in raiment of needlework. The members of the body of Christ will all be on the spirit plane, whether they are far off or near the earth. This is what our Lord meant when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you in the divine family." This particular place is one that has never been filled by any others. The various orders of spirit beings created by the Father occupy each its own sphere, but there is no Church of Christ amongst these. The Church of Christ is invited to occupy a place next to the Lord, next to the Father, higher than all the other planes of spirit beings. At the first advent, this place had not been prepared for the Church, although the Lord had it in mind. Our Lord ascended up on high to prepare this place. He did so by making an application of His merit to the Church class, by imputing His merit to them, and permitting them to become participators with Him in His sufferings in the present time, that they might also become sharers with Him in the divine nature. Thus He prepared the way to enter into that highest of all spirit planes, the divine. We are not sufficiently informed respecting the spirit condition to know just how it would be possible for the Lord and the Church to remain in the Father's presence and maintain the government of the earth. Perhaps this course is possible. Yet again, such would perhaps not be a wise arrangement. Perhaps it would be necessary for them to be absent from the immediate presence of the Heavenly Father and to approximate the earth, just as with Satan and his angels, who are in Tartarus, cast down, separate because of sin. But Satan is to be bound for 1,000 years. And the position which he has occupied is to be vacated. The entire Church is to be caught up in the air, to be with the Lord forever, not necessarily in Tartarus, but forever with the Lord, that where he may be, there they may be also, in harmony with the divine will, to execute the divine purposes. Our thought, then, is that the Christ will be very closely associated with our earth, just as Satan's kingdom has been, and that they will be equally invisible to men who will not see them during the 1,000 years, just as men have not seen Satan and his fallen angels. But as Satan and his angels have been doing an evil work, so Christ and his church will be doing a powerful work, a good work, a work on the spirit plane. And associated with them will be various agencies, one of which undoubtedly will be the great company. The members of Christ are the ones that are mentioned as kings and priests unto God, who shall reign on the earth. The earthly phase, intelligent, willing men. Then there will be earthly agents of this kingdom, just as Satan has his agents, who are sometimes under his control through ignorance and superstition, sometimes from mesmeric power, all of which will be removed at that time. But the agents of Christ will be intelligent and willing. At that time the ancient worthies will be princes in all the earth. All mankind will gradually come into fellowship with the kingdom and proportionately, indirectly, become associated with the kingdom itself. Just as any good man helps a government, so all mankind will be blessed in proportion as they approve and uphold the divine arrangements. Thus the kingdom will be spreading for the 1,000 years, not only from one individual to another, but gradually bringing them back to full perfection. We read that of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. It will conquer everything before it. Nothing will stop it. Every evil thing having been destroyed, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth will be heard praising God. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and his kingdom will be without an opponent, from the river unto the ends of the earth, having accomplished its purpose. The kingdom will then cease in the sense that Christ will deliver the authority over to the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 28. This does not mean that the law of God will be disregarded as it has been during the reign of sin and death. To meet the exigencies of the fallen condition of mankind and to bring back as many as possible into harmony with the divine arrangements, a special kingdom will be established, the Messianic Kingdom, which will come in between the divine government and mankind, because mankind in its weak condition will be unable to meet the requirements of the divine law. But when this kingdom has restored mankind to perfection, it is the divine purpose for Messiah to relinquish this subordinate kingdom, which will merge into and become a part of the great kingdom of Jehovah. Justice will then operate. There will be no place for mercy, and the Heavenly Father is not then represented as being a merciful king to his creatures. The Heavenly Father will then have made them perfect, so as to need no mercy, and they will be glad to meet all the requirements of the divine government, and will be blessed in doing so. The Christ to be associate ruler of the universe. Having determined this work, our Lord will not be without an occupation, but according to the Scriptures, he will continue to be at the right hand of the Majesty on high, next to the Father. He will relinquish the oversight of the affairs of earth and will assume again the general position as associate administrator of the affairs of the universe in connection with the Heavenly Father. We are not to suppose, however, that the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus will be kept busy hearing and deciding cases and administering justice, for the equilibrium will be such that there will be no necessity for such a course. The whole universe will go on practically without any head, and yet there will be the head. The Son will be next to the Father in authority, and next to the Son will be the bride. The work that will thenceforth progress is not revealed to us except in a very indefinite manner. We understand by the power of telescopes that the suns have each a planetary system. If God made this earth a planet to be inhabited, it is only reasonable for us to infer that all the planets of the universe will be inhabited, and that the Christ will behold the Heavenly Father in His wonderful universe. The power of the Heavenly Father is boundless, so far as we can understand. If after we have considered the hundred millions and more of suns and planetary systems beyond the power of human mind to contemplate, if then we realize that the Heavenly Father has made the position of Christ illimitable, and He has exalted the bride of Christ with her Lord, then it is reasonable to assume that the work of Christ and the Church will be limitless, and that some blessed work for creatures not yet born is the work of all eternity. We simply wonder in amazement. We wonder at the greatness of His goodness to us, which is to lift us, the faithful few who make their calling and election sure, from our low condition to future glories interminable. This has been reprint page 4973, The Future Inheritance of the New Creation.